Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go.
If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered.
Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant.
So let's renovate Australia. Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Renovating Australia podcast. I am Katie Cordery, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Alicia Chapman.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. So good to be here today.
So today on the podcast, we have two very special guests, and they just so happen to be two of the most requested guests that we've ever had to feature on the podcast, which is super exciting.
We are joined by Roisin and Zach from Jeep Bungalow. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you going?
So good to have you here. Thank you so much for having us in your house. It's always so exciting when we actually get to sit in someone's house and all of those photos on Instagram just come to life.
I know. You probably feel like you've been here before already.
I definitely knew my way straight to the bathroom.
Like, I know straight the way to the bathroom. I know where you sleep.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the coffee machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good. But guys, we have had, as Katie mentioned, so many people request you on the show. I think your tiles are the world's favorite tiles. They've been featured so many times and pinned so many times. So to see them in real life is really cool. So tell us about yourself. How did you guys meet? How did you start on your reno journey? Let's go full deep dive into who is Jeep Bungalow.
Right.
Okay.
How did we meet?
I can take that one.
How did we meet? We met a very long time ago at a school formal, but we were dating different people.
Ooh, so
and we went,
we went
separately. And,
I was dating one of Zach's friends.
Yeah. And then I don't know. That was like at the end of our like senior year, finish up, and then we like hit it off at schoolies, and then started uni together
in a platonic way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to clarify,
we're getting all the tea here, guys.
Yeah. I feel ashamed that I had to mention schoolies anyway. We started studying together. So I did business engineering and Roisin did business, majoring in like marketing
and advertising.
Yeah. So, and I was doing like a management major, but we had the first few like subjects together. So we, became really close for the first year of uni and then started dating after that.
Yeah. So we've been together nearly 8 years now. So it's been quite a journey and we've had the house for what, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Nearly three.
Coming up to 3 years.
And we've just kind of been tackling it in bits and pieces as we go. When we bought the house, if you've been on our Instagram and you've seen like the before highlight,
it was beautiful.
No, it was
a stunning piece of architecture.
Yeah. Oh, it was truly a disaster.
Castle.
It was one of those things where you walk in and I think all of our friends and family were like, why did they buy this house?
Yeah.
A lot of rotting things.
But funnily enough, it was the house that when we got to it, we were like, oh, we're never going to be able to get this. There's so many people here. Mm. We're not going to be able to afford it.
Right.
And then everything just lined up.
Fell into place.
It was really good. And we made an offer the day of.
Yeah, it was actually really funny. Our first offer was declined. And then they didn't sell the house because there was some sort of issue with what square meterage they had said it was in the beginning. And bit of a weird thing with an easement.
Yeah, so we had an easement running on the side. And that was included in what they were saying was the square meterage.
Yeah,
so they had to reclassify it. And they were like, cancel all of the offers on the house.
So all the offers had to be pulled.
And we were like, oh, that's okay because we still, like, that doesn't affect us. You know, we're not looking for a huge property or anything. So we'll offer again. And ultimately, we offered, and I think what happened was we came back to the house for like an open house, but they couldn't unlock it.
Yeah, the door was jammed, so then nobody else could go into the open house.
But we'd seen it, so we were like, that's fine, we're happy to offer again.
We had the
offer on the table with the owner for a week to negotiate by ourselves because there were no one else could get in.
So it was fantastic. And then, our offer was accepted. Me and Zach, probably one of the biggest fights we've had to date was the real estate called back and was like, you know, if you go up an extra $5,000, you know, he'll definitely accept it. I was like, okay, like, let's do it. What's $5,000 in the grand scheme of buying a house? And Zach said, no way. This is our offer.
Yeah.
Firm. And I was like, if we lose this house over $5,000,
you're
in trouble.
The context is we had negotiated with 15 grand increments for the last 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, oh, I'm really keen. This is a good offer, blah, blah, blah. And he went back to the owner, the real estate agent went back and said what we'd offered him. He was like, 5 more. And I was like, no, absolutely not.
Put your foot down.
If you want 5 more, we've gone through all of this. If you want 5 more, you can find it somewhere else. And so I said, absolutely not.
And obviously that was a testing day of 24 hours like, before they came back to us.
Yeah. And like, you're right. It doesn't, in the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter, but it mattered for us. Well, eventually he accepted our offer.
He called us back.
Yeah, he called it. Yeah, he, I guess, didn't want to negotiate anymore and was happy to settle for our offer. And I was like, great. At that point, I'd accepted. I'd said to Roche, like, if we don't get it, we don't get it, and that's fine.
Yeah, I hadn't accepted
Yeah, Roche hadn't accepted it.
I was definitely emotionally attached to the asbestos castle at that point.
Yeah, you know when you're like saying, like, you really want it, but if you don't get it, you'll like list all the things that aren't desirable about it.
Yeah, and did you guys happen to jam that door yourselves?
No, I wish.
Are you sure?
Oh my god, yeah.
I wish.
That'd be a masterstroke. No,
I think that's a really good idea. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, a really good idea for anyone that's... No, definitely not promoting that. Don't do that. It was definitely meant to be, I think.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, and was this your first home that you'd bought together?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our first home. So we're 25 now, we were...
22 when we bought this house. Yeah.
So yeah, Roche had been working for a few years because she started working during uni and I just... I've been working for 12 months and we were living in Roche's parents' house.
Oh, yeah. So that was such a blessing. Like, we were so grateful that our parents let us live there, but it was not easy.
So
yeah.
We really just paid for our own food.
And, which is how we were able to save so much money in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, and we were like really determined. We were like, we want our own space, you know, we want to renovate a space, blah blah blah. So that was kind of what pushed us to move so quickly. And then we got this house and I don't know.
Yeah,
started history, changing everything for literally the first weekend.
And you had plans to renovate like the second you came in?
Well, we couldn't afford not to.
Asbestos
I mean, like, we couldn't afford to buy a house that was finished. It just wasn't in our budget
definitely.
At all.
Yeah. But the second problem was we didn't find a house that, if it was like finished, there was no way we would like it enough to leave it.
It's not your style. So it wasn't what you were looking
for. There was also like a bunch of houses when we were shopping around where, you know, people had just done the most budget renos, you know, like they painted over tiles and things like that, which is totally fine if you're going to, you know, like just as to tie just you over until you're going to renovate it completely or if you're going to rent it out because like God knows you don't know how tenants are going to treat a house.
Yeah. Mm.
But for us, they're asking for a lot more money because they've technically done a cosmetic reno, but we would have to come in and redo it anyway. So we felt like we weren't really getting our money's worth if we bought one of those like in between renovated houses.
Yeah.
So we started targeting.
And we were 22, so we couldn't afford a house that had been done.
So walking into here, you knew you were going to renovate it. Have you ever done that before, like had family experience or what do you guys do 9 to 5? Do either of you have a trade background?
No.
No, not at all.
Definitely not. No.
And no family experience whatsoever in renovating,
Your side of the family.
Definitely not mine.
Yeah, so my step family, full of trades.
Okay.
So in that sense, I was kind of familiar, but I had no experience renovating and I didn't really know anyone that had any experience renovating either. But I guess it was always just something that we wanted to do. Like,
I would say naivety played into it a lot. We were like, we can renovate this house. And that's been our greatest asset is just being like, we could do that.
And you watch the block and you're like,
easy.
The block.
I feel like the block is the biggest setup failure for anyone that's renovating because you're like, they did a bathroom in 4 days. Hell yeah.
And yet.
And it's like waterproofing takes 24 hours to cure. Like, that's just crazy. Although, guys, let's lobby Zach. I want to go on the block and he refuses.
Yeah.
Oh. He won't even let me apply. But I think
come on,
like,
Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we have a running joke with our neighbours because our neighbours like the same age as us. They're super friendly and like, we get along with them really, really great. And so Mitch and Emily, and Mitch is the chippy. And he's like, oh, I'll go on the block. And Emily does not want to go on the block. I'm like, why don't you guys do a swap?
So me and Mitch are like, we'll do a wife swap and we'll go on the block together.
Yeah. All right, everyone watch this space.
Wait, is this, are you telling us something now? Like announcing something?
No, but guys, just like go on Instagram and tell that, go on the block.
What do you do 9 to 5?
So I'm a management consultant. So yeah, I am very far removed from a trade. I work with computers. I'm in analytics. So yeah, I don't have great hands-on experience with anything. So for me, it was, I have keyboard fingers. That's really my biggest strength. I guess.
Hey, that comes in handy when it comes to budgeting and stuff,
exactly.
though. Like,
yeah, is that where you play it?
Yeah, definitely, I would say. Yeah, it's hard, though. I feel like I've always had this creative outlet I wanted to like discover and take advantage of. And I never really, you know, I find that sometimes in my job I have that. But with renovating, that's where I really enjoy my time, like in that creative outlet. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I'm drawn into it.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah. And Rosh, what about you? What do you do?
I am in digital marketing and e-commerce. So I work at Universal Store, so selling the best clothes. But no trade background whatsoever, no design background. Similar to Zach, I think we both just like know what we like. Mm. We know like when we see something what we like. And we kind of, I guess in terms of how we get inspiration from our home, we don't really like replicate areas as much. You know, like we don't see a photo and go, oh, we want to just copy that exact layout or that exact styling. It's more like we'll grab a bunch of different photos or, you know, hotels that we may have stayed at traveling or commercial fit outs and pull bits that we like together.
It's funny you say that too, because I'd have to say your bathroom is probably one of the most Instagrammed bathrooms I've ever
creating
seen.
Trends. Yes, I know.
Honestly, like the amount of friends that I've had send me that being like, you should do this, like it's perfect for your space. Crazy.
The analytics on those posts is so funny. Like obviously I'm in marketing. I like looking at analytics of posts and things like that, but we've had over 780 people save that bathroom. So many people message us all the time and they're like, I just showed my builder this exact photo. It's so, yeah. And it's really cool to think that people are, you know, like flattering. Taking inspiration from just like the everyday person.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool rather than, you know, when you see someone like us doing something, it's achievable because we're just like regular people working in suburban Brisbane, you know, doing what we can with what we've got. So I think it's cool to see.
Yeah. So let's dig into this bathroom. It's what everyone wants to know about, I'm sure, along with everything else. But the bathroom in itself, how did you guys come up with the design for that? How did you choose your tiles? Talk us through the process of making that space.
Yeah. Okay. So with our bathroom, it just had a horrific layout when we bought the house and we knew straight away it was what we needed to fix first. There was the most incredible pink terrazzo slab on our original bathroom floor.
Oh, I remember
floor.
It.
Amazing.
So still, beautiful.
We still have, a piece we still have some of it.
Do you?
Down
Roche refused to let go. I had it in the skip. And
no,
then,
I took it out of the skip.
Well, because it's, yeah, I don't know. It has like beautiful. Chicken wire as like reinforcement because it's obviously
it's part of the
incredible though.
I always thought like, oh, it's going to be so hard. We're going to have to find a stonemason to like grind it. Yeah. And we had like really ridiculous quotes. Like, we always wanted to use a piece of the slab in a coffee table or something.
Yeah.
But the coffee tables we were looking at, which were really expensive, would have been cheaper than to use this.
Anyway,
so it might be
it's
something.
A work in progress. It will happen one day.
Somewhere, somehow.
But that floor, because it was one slab when it was poured, not tile or anything, there was a massive crack in the shower cavity. And so there was actually like water leaking down through the shower cavity onto the hardwood floors. Because back when the bathrooms were built, there was no waterproofing.
Yeah.
Oh, and so we knew, like, we had our builder over and he was like, yeah, this probably needs to get done soon.
Yeah.
Because he went underneath the house and was like, there's a lot of rotting floorboards and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so we knew that we had to start from scratch pretty much with the bathroom because everything had to be ripped out. And so what we actually did is we cleared the space in our lounge room and we taped it all out with painter's tape. So we put like the exact to scale dimensions.
Yeah. And I would say the reason we felt like we had to do that was because the space was so poorly laid out. Like we had a 1.something meter cubicle of a shower.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't
like
really understand. And we also had no, we had no dimensions for the house when we bought it. So we didn't actually, we had to measure everything and we couldn't really envision anything when we had this weird layout. And so we thought, like, we really wanted to put in another toilet.
Yeah.
And so we thought, there's no way we're going to fit this. Because look at it, it has a shower and it has a bath right now. And it doesn't even have a vanity that's attached to the wall or anything. So we were like, we're definitely not going to be able to have that. But once we drew it up on the floor, it was so much more spacious
Tetris,
than we thought.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We visited
so
it a
many
few
iterations
times.
Of design before we, like, planned on something.
We felt like, like Joey from Friends stepping into a map
and
being like, okay, and it, like this is where this is going and like getting all the dimensions from the Highgrove and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's so clever though. Like we did the exact same thing because we were building with a space that was just free for all and it's so hard to visualize it. You like draw it up on the little planners. You're like, I think there's enough space for my knees, but I have no idea.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We wanted to, like literally I have photos of Zach in the middle of the floor, like kind of like sitting in the air being like, is that enough room for the toilet?
Because you're putting a vanity there.
And you're like, is there enough space there? And I think a lot of people ask us, I would say it is our top asked question is about the layout of that wet room. So having the bath and then the shower with just a screen and no like double walled shower screen, I guess.
Yeah.
It is amazing for us. It allows you to do a freestanding bath in an otherwise very cramped space. Yeah. We didn't want to do the bath over shower thing because then we would have had almost too much room.
Yeah.
But also, I just wasn't a desirable look for us to have.
Yeah, it's kind of an older.
Yeah. Sort of.
I have seen some people do it really well recently, though. So I feel like if you are confined and you want to do a bath, you know, for resale or if you have kids or dogs and you want like a bath, then it's definitely possible. But for us, we really wanted to look at that freestanding bath. And it's funny because that's when the laying it out on the floor really helped, because we were like, how small could we make the shower? Or how narrow could it be? And like putting your elbows out and be like, would I fit in here?
And that's the question we get from a lot of people. Like, do you fit when you sit in the shower? Does water go over into your bath?
Like, yeah.
But people also think like, does water just go all over the floor? And I think the key for that is, well, firstly, the answer is no. But yeah, like you just need to make sure that the shower screen is long enough, like juts out long enough that it covers where, you know, I think it always reminds me of hotels. You know when you shower in a hotel and the whole floor just gets wet? It's not like that.
Most annoying thing ever.
Well, we also, it's something we didn't know at the time, but our builder had just put this really great fall in the floor. And so
very subtle.
So when the water does go where the bath is around it, it will just fall back down.
It'll
towards
the
drain.
So
we actually, it's a really great setup.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've been really lucky in the fact that you had to rip out that entire floor so you could build a fall in. You know, if you don't have that luxury, it would be a little harder, but you've done such a good job with the space.
Thank you.
Guys,
looks amazing.
One thing I will say is we went into that, again, you know, calling on the naivety piece, is I was like, I want this herringbone feature wall. We want floor-to-ceiling tiles. We want, like, all of these things that we didn't realize were literally can double the price of your bathroom. And so I did put like probably a lot of pressure on our builder when we were like, this is our budget, but also we want all of these luxury features. So we did end up, you know, the ways that we kind of offset that is like our vanity isn't real timber. It's like a laminate timber. You wouldn't know the difference. It's like works perfectly
Something
fine.
We were set on.
Zach was
really wanted set. Like a full timber.
Recycled timber.
Vanity. Turned out to be really expensive.
Like, and we,
very expensive.
Well, yeah, it was just about prioritizing. Like,
what's another 4 grand?
Honestly, like it gets to that point, but at that point, no, it was too much.
It looks great as it is.
Well, that's the thing. It's pretty good. We'd rather have the floor to ceiling tiles, I think.
100%.
And I think it's all about like those things where you can spend versus splurge.
Exactly.
You've and done the right combo.
That's like totally what we do in this whole reno. I wouldn't say that we've fully gone like a budget reno, but we're definitely not high end. Like, you know, our kitchen is IKEA, but we've gone with fancier backsplash tiles because it's a small area. So we splurged on those tiles and it just makes the whole kitchen look so much more, I guess, custom. Because it's not, you know, like a single piece of glass from IKEA or what you would expect to see in their catalogue. So it's just those kind of really small things that we've done throughout our house that we feel kind of, you know, you can save a lot of money in certain places and then just spend a little bit more where it means, where always, it's important to you.
Always at the forefront for us was do not overcapitalise. Because while we do want to live here for a while, we're not going to live here forever, so we do want to resell it. So, like conscious of where we are, what suburb we're in, and the size of our block and stuff.
So we do have resale at the forefront of our minds every time that we're planning, because people want to walk into a house where they feel like they can make it their own home, whereas if we've made too many of our own personal decisions, then it kind of will feel like they're walking into someone else's house. So that's kind of the way that we're doing this house. But like Zach said, we're still going to live here for a fairly long time. And the more that we do to the house, the longer we want to stay.
That's nice though. You can enjoy it. Tough question. What's your favorite room in the house so far?
It's interesting because we have a semi-open plan in terms of our dining and living. So this is a great space because we get the great lighting. But I would say kitchen. I would say it's the most impactful having just renovated the kitchen. It completely changed everything for us. I think waking up in the morning and having the light come up facing northeast, it's just beautiful and it glows and the whole house kind of centers around the kitchen laundry area.
So when people ask like, how do you edit your photos? Like it's the right mainly the right time of day that I just take them. The kitchen is beautiful. I obviously love the bathroom. Like I still love the bathroom so much, but I'm so excited for our outdoor area. I don't know if that counts because it's not finished yet, but we are building this like amazing outdoor entertaining area where previously, I think the reason I love it so much is it was such a wasted space when we bought this house. Like it had this 4.5 meter long ramp that was completely rotting. It was like weeds everywhere. There was like a 1500 liter water tank and it was just like so cramped and
really appealing.
Really, I know, I'm selling
great
it
for entertaining.
So, and we just kind of were like, oh, that part of the house will never get used. This is the beauty of doing renos in stages. As we lived here for longer, we were like, gosh, this place gets the most beautiful evening light. Like it's just and in the morning it gets beautiful lights. We're like, it seems like a waste to just have a running ramp there.
Yeah.
So, we're building this amazing rendered bench seat situation with barbecue area and all of that kind of thing, but it's not beautiful. Done yet. It's far from done.
Let's touch on that because this is a major project. Like, yes. There is blocks out there, there's concrete, there's Rio, there is so much going on.
Yes.
And you're doing it yourself. So how do you figure out how to do these things?
Yeah, that's pretty
interesting. The internet.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
YouTube?
A mixture. Like, so many things. Like, but we find...
You also, I would say, try and then make mistakes. I feel like whenever we have a project in mind, we kind of list out all the things we think we might need to do and then where there are, like, dependencies, what you need to do first. And then we kind of go down the path of, like, what can we do ourselves? What do we need people to get in to do? And so we kind of just do that and make mistakes and then, you know, learn from that and then approach it again, I would say. For us, we don't really have there's definitely this way to do it or not. We kind of just are pretty logical, rational, and we try and figure out the steps. But
yeah.
With no experience, it's kind of just figure it out on the fly.
Well, I guess we knew that we needed to level the ground because we couldn't build this bench on a slope. Oh. And that was probably... like such a learning experience.
We knew we
never renovated or
low-key
built.
Low-key, the hardest. This has been the hardest renovation of the house.
This definitely
the
hardest.
Yes, because we had so many people, landscapers, come in and say, "Oh, you know, you don't want to put a slab there. Put pavers." And each time we were convinced. We're like, "Sure, let's do pavers."
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even going to be cheaper. It was just, I don't know. It was more accessible for them, and it was, I suppose, in some way, it was going to be faster and easier. But, yeah, we were convinced each time, and then we'd have someone give us a quote for concrete, and then we would be like, no, we're going to do a slab.
Yeah. But basically, where we got to was the slab. Like, if you've never renovated or built before, concrete is so expensive.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I did not know this.
I found that out the hard way. Because I had no idea when I got our quote. I was like, what for?
Yeah.
It's concrete.
Yeah. The truck pulls up, you tip it in, and done. Yeah. But no. So I think that was something where we were happy to prioritize our budget. So we knew that the foundations of this outdoor area, if they were wrong, every bit of money that we spent on top of it would be wasted. Because if that cracks or it moves or you get weeds through it, and it just wasn't what we wanted. So we ended up, biting the bullet, spending the money on the concrete, and it's been really, really good. But, you know, we just got cinder blocks, and then, you know, we Googled how to build cinder block wall to see the techniques,
And we, we'll be doing something in it, and our neighbor, Mitch, will be like, "Oh, yeah, what are you guys doing?" And he'll be like, "Oh, you want to do this?" And I'll be like, "Okay." And we'll get more advice from Mitch.
Right.
Then, handy mentor next door.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's, the other thing, you'll see the video on YouTube and they're like, make sure you put Rio in every second hole, or depending on what you're retaining or building, and then fill it with concrete. And you're like, great, step one.
Yeah.
So then we just do it. But I guess the whole thing for us is the reason that stuff takes us so long, we spend so much time doing it, is we don't want anything to look DIY.
Yeah.
We don't want this house to look like we did it ourselves with absolutely no training or qualifications. But I will say, whenever... our kitchen was installed professionally. Our bathroom was built by qualified builders. The slab was poured by a qualified concreter. Like, anything big that we feel will be adding value to the house, we don't do ourselves.
Yeah, definitely not.
We didn't plasterboard. I feel like you might be able to do yourself. We didn't trust ourselves.
Oh, it's really tough. Yeah.
So it's not a fun job. We didn't do that. All of our asbestos removal, definitely do not do that yourself. Mm. Call the professionals. It's not as expensive and scary as everyone makes you think.
Yeah.
Other demo stuff we've done ourselves.
When
we first moved in, we had this, it was like a pink concrete, the pink thing.
Everything is pink,
concrete, path that ran from the bottom of our stairs to our fence.
Yeah.
And all these trees. And so we immediately got this giant jackhammer and jacked it all up and disposed of that and cut all the trees down except, three trees that we felt like were kind of, we knew we needed them for screening and for whatnot. And that was backbreaking work. Second weekend we moved.
Sometimes it will get to Sunday afternoon and please God, Monday. I just want to sit down.
It's really changed. It really changes. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Work is
all the landscaping work and stuff, I remember also estimating has been something that has become a great skill of mine. I was terrible at it before, that's absolutely true. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time we were doing landscaping, I was 3 cubic meters of gravel.
Oh no.
And Zach was I just placed the order. I was gung ho, did it.
Oh,
and then
God.
It showed up on the driveway. They dumped it on the driveway, and Zach goes, "We have to move that now." And it was horrific.
Very bad idea.
It was
horrific.
My God. So,
So things like that, we definitely
will. You learn. Yeah.
And you That's a thing. Everyone makes mistakes. And that's why I always try and put on our Instagram, like, all the stuff ups or, like, normal things that we do because, like
it's paying
so normal.
Cheap trades as well.
Oh, don't go the cheapest. Don't go the
yeah,
cheapest.
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
We've had to, like, when we first moved in before we got our first puppy, Henry, we were like, we need to replace our fence because it was a bit dodgy, pretty low. And so at the time, our budget was really tight back then. And so we were like, okay, we've just got to find someone that can do it for the cheapest price. And that was, you know, probably the first thing we had paid a trade to do. And these guys came and they did it in one day and it was so bad. We still have the same fence, but now we're getting quotes to have it fully redone. So,
yeah.
You know, like pay that a bit was more, exactly. Yeah. You pay $500 more and get it done right the first time.
Having said that, there are things that you do want to do immediately at a lower cost, knowing that you'll do it again later.
Yeah,
totally.
I think we painted
our kitchen cabinets and stuff, knowing that we were going to renovate the kitchen.
Yeah, and that was, we're fine.
It just makes you feel better.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. I'm all for that. Live in it. Like, I'm all for, like, a lick of paint is the cheapest thing that you can do to make
and something
livable.
You should always do yourself. As much as you don't want to do it sometimes. If you want to save money, painting's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever people say, like, oh, how could I save money on a reno? I'm like, pick up a brush.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you know, it's tormenting work sometimes. But so,
especially painting ceilings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
I saw that in the Facebook group, the Renovating Australia Facebook group. Like, people were like, guys, I don't want to paint another ceiling.
And we're like, oh, we can't help you.
I'm so sorry.
Just buy a spray gun, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Oh, so good. So I've actually, whilst you've been talking, I think there's some really valuable tips there that I feel just come naturally to you guys. So you maybe downplay them a little bit, but I know that they are probably the foundations to your success. So watching something and listing out a plan and writing down step by step, those sort of things, so you know what materials that you have to do, you know what you have to anticipate is coming, and you actually can see, oh, hang on, I can't do that. How do I put Rio in? What is Rio?
Yeah.
Google more. That sort of stuff is really impressive. And I think for a lot of people, it actually doesn't come naturally to think that way. So because of your jobs, even though you don't have a trade background, I think you guys are really well set up to do amazing renos.
Yeah. Well, I think we're both in some capacity in project delivery. So we kind of understand those steps, which is... Yeah.
I'm a very, like, get shit done type of person.
Yeah.
Which is, I think this is what plays, like, me and Zach have different personalities in that way where I'm like, get it done, sort it out. And Zach's like, let's plan everything to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of helped balance each other out because I'm the one that pushes it forward. So when people are like, oh my God, you guys have like made such great progress, that's me. But when everyone's like, it looks so amazing and perfect, that's Zach.
Yeah.
So when we were building our balustrade, it's all these like singular battens that have to line up perfectly and they're all exactly 10 mil apart. Is that right? Or 10 centimeter?
Oh, no, they're 30 mil buttons,
see?
So 40 mil apart.
Yeah. But it will be so much quicker. And Zach's like, no, I'm going to spend an hour setting up a string line and then makes me go around with a ruler on every single one. So I'm like, holy crap, this is killing me.
Yeah.
But then the end product looks like you've paid someone thousands
of
dollars.
Exactly.
It does pay off. It looks so professional.
But then I'm the one that's like, come on, babe, get out of bed. We got to do the deck. So it's
many a time we've been hungover on a Sunday morning and Roche is cracking the whip and I'm sitting in a wheelbarrow wishing.
Literally.
Yeah.
These are the joys of renovation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It
never stops, hey?
No, it doesn't.
So the outdoor area is obviously underway.
Yep.
What's the sort of plan for the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months? What's next?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so what's next? After the outdoor area, we have a few things floating around, but I would say definitely the bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So we still have, I know I called it an asbestos castle before, and it still is because we have two spare bedrooms that are asbestos and one of our walls in the master is asbestos. And so we're going to replaster all of that and put in brand new walk-in robes. So,
not walk-ins. We don't have walk-in robes. Built-in robes.
Yeah.
They will be very fancy still.
Yeah. So, if you're little, you might be able to walk in.
Yeah. So already planning that, already getting our trades together. And I'm trying to hold Roche back because I'm like, we're still mid-flight on our backyard. And she's looking at the wardrobes we're buying from IKEA and getting quotes from plasterers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely our next project. We're super keen to finish that off.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, when we did our kitchen, and anyone that is type A personality like me will understand that when everything has a place in your house, oh, gosh, it's just so satisfying. Like, our whole house, if you've bought an old house, they don't have any storage.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of stuff.
Well,
that's one thing.
Like,
we're pretty minimal.
Funky. our master bedroom storage. We have an entire wall cavity.
The length of the room.
But only doors on the right of it. So we can't get in.
You do have to walk through.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's the room. We call it the abyss, though, and it's where, like, so the Christmas tree lives and stuff.
So, yeah, we'll put in a plastic, like, one of those plastic boxes with wheels on it. Yeah, and I'll just slide it.
All 4 meters the down the end.
Perfect. But how do you get it back? That's, like...
Zach has to crawl.
I'll deal.
Yeah.
But what I was meaning by that is we've seen, as we're renovating... the beauty of storage and how it literally changes life. And I know how lame that sounds as it's coming out of my mouth. However,
no, there are whole Instagram pages dedicated.
Exactly. Yeah. So, when we have our walk-in robes done, I said it again. I mean, built-in robes. Sorry to let everyone down. They're not walk-in. When we have our built-in robes done, it's just going to be so much better. You know, having like space for clothes and shoes.
I know people look at a house and like, oh, it looks so great. But what I see every day is when I go to get clothes out of the wardrobe, we have a chest of drawers stacked on all my uni textbooks because there's a lip in our current wardrobe with the doors, so you can't. Well, we bought this wardrobe and we couldn't pull it out. So that's
like
reality.
Insta versus reality.
Totally. Although our Insta is totally reality. I always share like the junk room in our house, which will become a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
So exciting. And that'll be such good rooms for you to tackle. And then is that it? Are you done after that?
No. We need to replace our roof. Our roof is also asbestos, right. And that will be the end of the castle. But
that's the worst one because you barely see it. We have kind of a low pitch roof, so we don't really see it. It doesn't have anything pretty on it, like any gables.
Yeah.
So we need to replace that, and it's going to be expensive. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where we were kind of like, that's not going to make an impact to our life whatsoever, but we know it needs to happen, so we'll do it right at the end.
So after that,
I guess we're done. And then watch us then like buy another.
You say we're done, but Roche is always thinking about things. One minute we'll be like happy with everything we've accomplished for the day, and then she'll be saying to me, you know, we should really repolish the floors.
They are perfectly polished, by the way.
I love it. No, I've always got something on the go.
Yeah, that's great. Keeps you busy. It's good. So let's talk about the people behind the bathroom. We touched on earlier, you guys have just got married. How exciting.
Yes, super exciting. We actually eloped in Byron Bay. So
beautiful.
We've been together for 8 years and we eloped. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So love that for you guys. Secret running away because we just did just the two of us in Byron Bay. I mean, with everything that's going on with like COVID and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, it was just kind of the better option for us right now.
We did have a wedding plan, like a party, and then that got cancelled because of restrictions.
Of course.
So we were like, oh, that's okay, because we're going to go down to Byron and get married anyway.
We had booked the elopement and then we had booked a party as well. But all of our friends and family thought that the party was the wedding. It got cancelled. And then they were all like, oh no, we're so sorry for you. And we're like, it's fine. Like our wedding's still on married. Next week. We were like, it's all good. So it was the best. We literally went to Byron. We got married at Forget Me Not Weddings. Ooh. So that was amazing. And then we literally went out for burgers and beers and margaritas afterwards.
Amazing, guys.
It was the most us thing that we could have done.
Yeah.
We still do want to do something with all of our friends and family, but
we will.
Who knows, right? Who knows when that's going to be possible? Yeah. We had 130 people on our guest list, so our venue was like, party's not going to happen.
They said,
not for a while.
You can have 50. And we're like,
so including staff.
How do you cut the list?
Sent out save the date. So we're like, you can't uninvite
people. Oh, yeah.
We're not going
to
uninvite.
Maybe you could do like two stages, like the 7 to 9 shift. Swap out.
It's probably double the amount, though.
True.
We'll see, like, when we're allowed to party again, we'll have something. It might end up being our 1 year anniversary party.
That's not a bad idea.
So special. And so did you guys stop renovating for a little while afterwards? Or did you come straight back?
No, we were in Byron for a week.
We had a week off. Week off we've had on holidays since we bought this house,
Since
2018. Oh, my
God. Before we bought the house, we went on a road trip down in Victoria, Great Ocean Road and Yarra Valley and everything. Came back, bought the house, and haven't had a holiday since. And we were
we were supposed to be in Italy
We were supposed to be in Italy for 4 weeks. Yep.
Everything was leading to this amazing big holiday. That's why we didn't go on a holiday last year, because we were like, let's save our pennies.
We've had small things. You know, we actually, this sounds sad, but last year when we had the big Easter public holiday and like you can take some leave and we had 11 days off or something. We took that and we painted the house and built the balustrade.
Yeah. So we're like, this is such a great uninterrupted time to work.
Yeah. You are resonating with everyone.
Yeah. You're true renovators.
Yeah. Because, you know, like when you're working full time and renovating, you're like, these 2 days are so precious. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's in winter and it gets darker earlier, mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God, I just have to really make the most of these limited hours.
Welcome to married life.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Exciting. So exciting. Well, thank you so much for having us today. It's been amazing to actually see this place in real life and see it's just as beautiful as Instagram, if not more.
Thanks, guys.
We'll pop in the show notes, but where can everyone find you?
We are on Instagram at gbungalow.
I think that's it.
That's pretty much it.
You know, it's try and stop Roche from making a TikTok for us.
No, do it.
Heard it here first.
Oh my God, I love watching TikToks. I will never make one. But
they're really good for demo videos.
Oh, okay. Mm. People love
my
the
gosh.
Home
Renault. No. She already gets told, are you sure you need to be watching more TikTok? By the app. So.
Oh yeah, the app tells you, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, you know you're in trouble. But yeah, if anyone wants to email us any question, just hit the email button on our profile. And that will take you to us.
Mm. Amazing.
Fabulous.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cool.
Thanks so much,
guys. Cheers, guys. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your Reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.